Blog Talk Radio.
Every author has that one story that hits close to home for them. This is Yvonne Mason's.
This book is very personal to me.
The 50s has been idealized as a time of prosperity and growth for some. Those with mental and physical challenges often faced scorn and ridicule, and were destined to be left in so-called hospitals to wither and die. Dreamcatcher, Failure Was Never an Option, is the uplifting story of a man named Stan and his family's courage to defy the odds and succeed in an era where no merit was seen in the challenged.
It is the true story of my brother who was mentally and physically challenged. It is because of my brother Stan that I am a successful author.
Dreamcatcher, Failure Was Never an Option, is available through Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com now.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Off the Chain. I am your host, Yvonne Mason, and tonight I'm so blessed to have a co-host. Her name is Taylor Dawn, and I just love her. She's so funny, but she's going to help me tonight. But before we get to the show, there's a couple of housekeeping issues we need to do. First of all, that was a piece of shameless promotion by my voiceover and ad man, Christopher Dunham, and if you need some good ads, contact him. He is on my Facebook page, and, I mean, he makes some killer ads for me. He also has a Friday night show on the radio, on online radio, called Friday Night Freak Show. It's a three-hour show of music, madness, and mayhem. And trust me, if you ever listen to it, you will know why I call it music, madness, and mayhem. Also, there is a young author named Andrew Bouchard, and he came up on my advertised cast site that I have, where I will do shout outs and ads for folks. For the cost is so minimal it should be criminal. So go over there and check it out. It's Advertised Cast, and you look for Off the Chain. But he has a book called The Seduction of Anita Sarkisson. And this is what he says: Anita Sarkisson doesn't want you to read this book. So if you hate Anita, then why not irritate her by purchasing a copy? Romance, Funny, and a Wild Ride. It's on Amazon. I keep saying I'm going to go buy this book because I want to know who the hell Anita Sarkisson is and why I should hate her. So if any of y'all go over and get Andrew Bouchard's book, The Seduction of Anita Sarkisson, and you read it, let me know why I need to irritate her. Now, I have some excellent news. I tell you what, since July the 27th of last year, when this dream became real, I had a goal, and that was to reach 10,000 listeners by the end of 2017. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know who's driving this train. All I know is that I believe in divine providence, and I believe that God puts us in places when we're needed to be put in places, because I've had some really, really fabulous guests that have had platforms and passions, and they've been allowed to express that as well as their books and music and artwork and businesses. And as of tonight, as of this morning, just on Blog Talk Radio, which, by the way, shout out to Australia. Australia beats the USA 2-1 in my listening audience. Australia is 66% of my listening audience. So what's wrong with the USA? Why are you guys only at 30%? What are we? Is Florida in the twilight zone or something? But as of this morning, our listeners are at 4,224 listeners. That's just since July. Now, as all of you know, I put all of my shows up on several podcasts that I run because I like diversity, because we are heard all over the world. We're heard in Germany. We're heard in the UK. We're heard in Finland. We're heard in the Federation of Russia. We're heard in South Africa, in Ireland, in Little New Guinea, in countries I never even heard of. So as of this morning, the total podcast, as well as the show itself, we are at 9,756 listeners. So, ladies and gentlemen, my guests are the reason that we are so popular. My guests are being heard, and for that I am so grateful. So, Now let's get to the show tonight. As y'all know, normally I don't do a show on Monday night because I do shows Wednesday through Saturday night. But I saw something the other day that, as most of y'all know, when I get pissed off, I don't know how to shut my mouth. And especially when it's something close to my heart, I just say it like it is. And a new friend of mine by the name of Christine McCormick Franco, who is the loving wife of a veteran with PTSD. Now, for those of y'all who do not know what PTSD, it is post-traumatic stress syndrome, and it is real. Trust me, it is real. I saw it in Vietnam. A lot of men came back from World War II with it. It is real. And for years, Christine has lived in the fear that whenever she left the house, that when she opened the front door to go back in, that her husband would have left this world by a self-inflicted wound. Now, it's hard enough to send your loved one off to war to serve his or her country, to protect us, but then to have to relive that war when they come back home because of things that they have no control over, that they haven't yet worked through, it's hard. I cannot imagine it. I am a survivor of domestic abuse, and I still have triggers, but nothing like this young man. And I want to thank Tony for his service right here and now and his sacrifice. So they got this wonderful service dog. He's a Rottie mix who was at a shelter and nobody wanted. And this dog not only saved her husband's life, but he also saved their marriage. Now, they also have a little child, so this is important. And at an author event, ladies and gentlemen, I am an author. My co-host, Taylor Dawn, is an author. We live and breathe by our books. At an author event, this beautiful family was insulted by an author. We will not name the author. She knows who she is, and she has to live with this action, which resulted in unintended consequences. This author either did not want to understand or refused to understand that this animal is the lifeline, ladies and gentlemen, of this veteran, and that he and his dog is protected by ADA law. So tonight's show is an education on these things. It is also a warning to those who would disparage our service people and their families, that we owe them more than we can ever repay, and that we must have their backs as they have ours. I do not know the name of the author. I do know, without a doubt, that karma will pay her a visit. I do know that everything comes full circle. Do not turn off this show. Christina, my dear friend, thank you for having the courage for speaking out. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
Hi, Christina.
I was going to holler. Taylor, say something to Christina.
I'm hollering at her.
Now, before we get on the history, Christina, I want to read this letter because this letter is important. This letter that you wrote, it is very important. Ladies and gentlemen, this was the reason that I got involved in this. She wrote, "Dear author, today I was very disappointed. I have seen you at several signings. You have been so nice. I budget and know who I am going to purchase signed books from, and you were one of them. However, I did not buy your book today. You see, and I'm going to choke up. You see, my husband and I were helping one of my best friends, who is also signing at that author event, set up her table. You watched us the whole time. You knew we were there. You saw my husband's service dog. We left to go eat because I bought general admission tickets and we were coming back at 1 p.m. You made the decision to go to my friend and tell her that you hoped we were not coming back because of Doggy. When she explained he was a service dog and my husband is a veteran, you said you didn't care. Well, I'm going to explain why you not caring hurt me enough that I didn't buy your book and bought from another author instead, who I had never read before. Before Doggie came into our life, my husband would not go to anything with me. We lived our lives never leaving the house except to my parents' house. Going out to eat was rushed as the crowds and noise bothered my husband, who is a veteran with PTSD and a traumatic brain injury. You don't know that I was so happy he agreed to come to the signing with me, because when I went to SASS 16, where I enjoyed a lovely conversation with you, I was horribly worried all day that he might start his 45, because he was in a bad place. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we all know what a 45 is. Today, I felt like I could enjoy the signing event because he was with me and not far away. My husband and his service dog is protected by the ADA laws, so you couldn't kick us out. But I know people. If you were willing to tell one of my closest friends what you did, you probably ran your mouth behind my back. You were not as pleasant with me today, and that made me sad. But you know what? I'm going to hold my chin high and know that I had a great time in spite of my disappointment. To all of the other authors who made my husband feel welcome, thank you so much. You made my day. Proud veteran's wife. Now, Christina,
I'm crying over here, so just so y'all know.
I cannot imagine the fear that you live with before you got Doggie. Now, before we go into that, give our listening audience some history, how you met your wonderful husband. What made him, and he can jump in anytime he wants to, because he's more than welcome to tell his story on this show. And what led up to him being deployed?
Well, my husband, he was an airborne ranger. So he was special forces, and he saw a lot of things that we don't really talk about. I don't know a lot of it. He won't talk about it.
I don't blame him.
And a lot of it's classified, so he can't talk about
it. Right.
And that's okay. Like, I met him after he actually got out of the military. I met him in 2004. We immediately clicked with each other, more as friends, but then became more very quickly. It was always there. I always knew that he was different from the other guys that I had dated. If we went out to eat, his back had to be against the wall in a restaurant. We would even have to wait for tables just so that he could have a table that made him feel comfortable in a restaurant. But, you know, love is blind in some ways, and we overlook it. We overlook the things that that may somewhat be inconveniences. Through the years, we've been fighting the VA. The VA is a very ugly, ugly system. I can't even sugarcoat it. I can't even try to sugarcoat it. It's an ugly system. I get so angry sometimes with the inconsistencies from the providers that it's horrible. It's absolutely horrible. But, you know, we met in 2004, we got married in 2007, we lived together in Florida for several years before we got married, and we had a good life. There were just things that he wouldn't do. He wouldn't go anywhere where there were big crowds, so when we went to the beach, we had to go really early in the morning, before people got to the beach. Because when we lived in Florida, we lived like right off the intercoastal, so the beach was just less than a mile away. But we would go to the beach at like 7 o'clock in the morning, and we would be out of there by 9 o'clock because it would be crowded. Bike shows, because he's a big biker. Bike shows, if he wasn't with multiple groups of people, like if we didn't go with a big group of his friends who were also many of them veterans, we were out of there very quickly. And those were just a few things, but the unfortunate part is with the VA, their treatment, he went left untreated for so long that it got worse. It started spiraling down, and especially after our son was born. Like, when our son was born, all he wanted to do was protect him, keep him home. He didn't want to go anywhere. I mean, it had gotten so bad that if I wanted to go somewhere, I was going by myself. He wouldn't even let me take my son places. It was me by myself. And that gets to be really, really lonely, especially when you move back home and you don't really have any friends left, and you left all the friends that you made in Florida behind. You come back to Maryland. We came back to Maryland, and I didn't really have any friends left in Maryland. They'd all moved away or just are gone. So it was a lonely existence. And we had a dog. We had a beautiful dog. Her name was Dusty, and she was the best friend of my husband and the best friend of my child. So when his doctor at the VA, when he finally got a good therapist at the VA, and his therapist recommended a service dog, we had to say no at that point because Zesty wasn't very animal friendly. So we didn't want to bring another dog in the house that would potentially set her off.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't fair to her either because we'd had her since she was 5 months old. She was our baby. We actually, the same weekend we got her, we conceived our son, which is kind of funny, but so she was there for my whole pregnancy. She said she was there from the time he was born.
But would it be fair to say, Christina, may I interrupt you for just a minute? Would it be fair to say, because I read some of your stuff, that she unofficially acted as a service dog for your husband at home?
Absolutely, 100%, yes. She was very in tune with him. I mean, she was, the two of them together, she was 140 pounds, purebred Rottweiler, who would jump on his lap and be a lap dog when he was having a bad day. She was the best babysitter, too. Not that we left her alone with our son, but anytime our son would cry or anything like that, uh-huh. she would pad through and let us know, like, hey, you need to go check on him.
Yeah, Rotties are good family dogs, and they connect in ways that humans can't. I would rather have a dog than most people I know, but that's another story for another day.
Amen to that.
but what?
I like dogs, people not so much.
What did Tony say?
He said he likes dogs, people not so much.
Yeah,
he's a man.
We're on
after
that
my
train
heart.
With him. Yeah.
Yes, we are. So, as time went on.
She was diagnosed with diabetes, and right after she was diagnosed with diabetes, she was diagnosed with cancer, and the two were, like, the treatment for the diabetes we couldn't regulate that because of the treatment for the cancer, and the treatment for the cancer we couldn't regulate because of the treatment for the diabetes. So she was in pain, and we unfortunately had to put her to sleep at a very young age of 5 years old. The next couple of months were a living hell. It was a living hell. We fought constantly. I couldn't even be in the same room with Tony without him just lashing out. He wasn't sleeping. I don't think that in the several months that we didn't have a dog in our house that he slept, because every single little bump in the night woke him up. And he was, I mean, he took his, he was prescribed 300 milligrams of trazodone. That's like for a horse. That's the thing.
Yeah,
they knock the horses with them down.
Mm-hmm.
And he should have been sleeping, but he was so, he just had so many nightmares. And it just, I mean, it got so bad that I couldn't even sleep in the bed because he was throwing me out of bed at night when he was having his nightmares. And I was like, "This, I can't do this anymore." And I took up residence on the couch. It was just bad. Like, I was sitting on a bed. He would hold me down in the middle of the night. He wasn't trying to hurt me, but inadvertently he was.
He was having flashbacks and things and normal noises in the house, like a refrigerator kicking on or a floor creaking or a ceiling joist creaking, would set off a trigger.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And what we think, what we who haven't been in a war situation would think of as normal sounds, our veterans associate that with other things.
Yes.
You know, and with that being said, it became a quest for me to find the perfect dog for our home. Because during that time, we went back to the therapist. We said, okay, we're ready. And we were given the name of a couple of providers for service dogs for veterans. We got on the waiting list. Here's the thing. The waiting list is at least 6 months long just to get your initial interview.
Oh, that's terrible.
It can take anywhere from 2 to even 10 years is some of the things that I've read for a veteran to be paired with a dog. Because at the time, and it's still the case now with some of the research that I've done, at the time, there was just such a huge need for the dogs, but there wasn't enough organizations who were doing it. And a lot of that was funding, because the VA doesn't pay for it. The VA doesn't pay anything for it. So there's funding. And then even at that, once you were paired with a dog, you may have still had expenses to incur for the dog, for training and so forth, depending on the organization. Some organizations, they're able to provide them for free because they have enough funding. Others, they didn't.
Most organizations, you could go through 2 weeks, like nonstop, like 80 hours, whatever, 2 weeks. Most organizations do 80 hours, 2 weeks of training on site with the dog.
Right.
And once you complete that, and you know, you and your dog pass and all that, then every year you go back for a recert, and it's usually a week long. So it is very time consuming, and you know, if the VA is not paying for it, somebody's got to pay for it,
and it's very
sometimes
expensive.
You know, right. Now a lot of the organizations do, you know, pay for the actual training for the veterans, but not all of them. And again, you know, you got to get with the right organization to begin with, and you know, hopefully they got a slot.
And it was just.
And then you got to be paired with the proper dog.
Yeah, and then they had to be paired with the proper dog.
Exactly.
And for us, we didn't have that kind of time. It was getting bad, especially when I came home. I have the best parents in the world, so they keep my son a lot. They adore him. Both Tony and I are only children. Unfortunately, his parents have passed, but my parents are still alive, and they keep my son all the time. They love him, and they're very close with him. And one of the reasons why we still live in Maryland is because we don't want to take our son from him. But they had my parents had our son that weekend, and I got home, and I can't even remember where I was at. I think I was out with a friend, but I came home and Tony was sitting on the couch.
Take your time. Take your time. And this is your story, baby. And I want you to be emotional because I want people to understand how important these service dogs are for our veterans. So, right, Taylor?
Exactly. I'm getting emotional, too, but I'm just kind of, I've heard Christina and Tony's story. I've been, with my face pressed against the glass, and over the past year, I've seen the progress, and it's a beautiful thing. I know it is heartbreaking for her to tell her story because we've been on the phone many times, and I just listen because there's not a whole lot I can do other than that, but I'm going to be honest with you before she finishes her story. The past year or so, I really have seen the progress. Tony's out doing his photography again. He had gotten a job as an Uber driver. And he goes to events with Christina, and they're doing things as a couple. And Christina's happiness has just heightened so much over just the past year. And to me, it's crazy insane to think that an animal that a lot of people take for granted in this world can actually make a positive difference in someone's life like that. It's crazy.
They do.
Yeah.
So, Christina, finish your story, my dear.
I came home and he had the 45 in his lap. He had been drinking. The bottle of Kentucky Gentleman was almost empty, and we had just bought it the night before. And he said to me he couldn't do it anymore. He couldn't live anymore. That he was a disappointment to me, and he was a disappointment to our son, and he appointment to my parents, and which isn't true. My parents love him so much, but in his mind, because of the PTSD, because of the mental issues that he has, he felt worthless, and he felt the best thing in the world was for him not to be here with us. And at that, in the floor, and I crawled over to him, and I talked to him, and I just told him how much I loved him, and how, even though we fight, and even though we don't always get along, that I couldn't imagine my life without him in it, and I talked him into handing him the gun. And I put it back in the case, and I locked it, and I took the key. And I talked him into going to bed, and we just laid in bed all night long. And we just talked, and I knew at that point I had to get another dog in that house to mask some of those sounds as soon as possible. Because that was the change, was losing Zesty from the house. And that's the only thing that I could think about. So I kept a really close eye on him, and I scoured the internet for rescues, because I figured if I found a dog that was already tested and good with dogs, that when we got that service dog, that everything would be okay. So when we went to the pound, we actually went to look at a couple of dogs, not necessarily DOG, because he was a little bit younger, and I just don't think that Tony really wanted a boy dog. We were looking at mostly female dogs. But he walked back while I was dead. And it's funny because DOG's name was Hank. We actually renamed him. And because he needed a fresh start. When I asked if we could see Hank,
He was the only one in there not working at.
Well, I'll get to that point. When I asked to see Hank, I was told, "Is that your son?" And they looked at my son. He was younger, what, four times? Four? He was about 4 years old. And they said, "We're not adopting Hank to a family with a child because of his breed." And I said, "Why? We've had Rottweilers. Is he a bad dog? I mean, is something wrong with him?" In the meantime, Tony and JP were in the kennels, and as they were walking through all the kennels, he said Hank, who's now the OG, was the only dog that wasn't barking and causing a ruckus, and he was wagging his tail and was excited to see them. But I was fighting to just be able to get a one-on-one with him because apparently he'd been adopted out. And 2 weeks after he was adopted out, he was returned because they said that they thought he was aggressive.
Oh, good.
Now, we've never seen an aggressive dog. We've never seen an aggressive bone in this dog's body. Not even then. The food isn't safe.
What is food?
He likes his food, but his food's not safe. But he's just loving and crazy loving. And they're like, "Well, he's the best dog that we've ever seen with other dogs. He just loves playing with other dogs and being around other dogs. And he just loves being around everybody. Everybody that works here loves him." And I said, "So you're not willing to give him a chance with a family that would love him because these people said he showed signs of aggression, but y'all never seen it." And they said, "Well, you make a good point. So since we had Roddy's and we were interested in him, they brought him out, and he immediately went over to my son, licked him on the face, like this huge kiss from bottom of his face to the top of his head. And then he went and jumped in my husband's lap and put his paws like around his neck and hugged him."
Aww.
And at that point, we were like, "We're adopting this dog. We don't care. We're done. We're adopting this dog. He needs a second chance, and we need a second chance." And we were lucky at that shelter. All they do is run a background check on you, which they're able to do on the same day. And they are a one-day adoption. So he went home with us that day, and we decided that he needed a second chance at life. So we renamed him. My husband and my son named him D.O.G. D.O.G. And he just immediately that same weekend that we brought him home, he like started attacking my husband, not attacking him, but like taking his paws and slapping him and trying to hurt him, like pushing on him with his head. And Tony's like, okay, I'll sit down. He just thought he wanted him to sit down and love on him. Within like 10 minutes, my husband started having one of his really severe migraines and dizzy spells that he gets from his TBI because he was in a vehicle that was destroyed. And I was like, "That dog knew beforehand." Uh-huh. And Tony's like, "Yeah, it looks like it." So it was a good month of us going through the motions and watching DOG, you know, tell him in a crazy way. And I'll be honest, that the dog was wild. He was the way that he did it then, he was a pain in the butt and he was wild and I was ready to kill him.
But think about this, Christina, and Taylor, jump in. Don't you agree, Taylor, that they needed wild and crazy at that point in their life?
They did, because I think it was, they needed a little, I don't want to say responsibility, but they needed something to shake things up a little bit.
Yes.
And I think that dog did it for them. I mean, whether it was crazy or not.
And I was like, "This dog's going to be the death of me someday."
That weekend. We got him that weekend. He followed his train.
Yeah, we because he'd gone to his doctor. Well, we had started obedience training with him, like, immediately, because we were like, dude, this dog needs some obedience training. He is, like, off the chain horrible.
How apropos for this show.
Yep.
So, but he had about a month later, he had an appointment with his doctor, his therapist. And he explained to his therapist everything that DOG was doing. And his therapist said, that dog is sensitive to you.
Yep.
You just have to train him. He goes, I'll write up all the paperwork. He goes, you just have to get him trained. He goes, just look into the organization. And at that point, we were like, why would we get a separate service dog when we have one that's already doing the job? He just needed trained. Now, I got to do a shout out to our trainer. She was amazing. And I'll leave her name out because she could get in trouble for training him on the side with her job the way that she did. She had trained muscular dystrophy service dogs before. And she was training at the pet store, and he was doing all the dance classes with. And when Tony asked her, who should I go have this training with? She told him, if you just continue to have his regular obedience training classes with me, we will meet up on the side, and I will train him the extra steps at no charge to you all. And
wow.
I will help you get all of his training. We'll get all of his paperwork. We'll do it all together. And she's a pure angel. She was a pure angel. And it was a good, I mean, guys, it was a good 2 years of training before he was ready to even just go out in public settings. Mm-hmm. And they were training him every day. And we worked with him 24 hours a day practically. Because I didn't sleep at night because I was still very worried. So when Tony was asleep, I had DOG and I was working his moves with him. Until he was so tired, he just flopped down and was like, I'm done, Mom. he went from being this wild dog who was ready to strangle to being this perfectly obedient dog that with just a little tug on his leash and a command, not even just a like little click of the tongue and a hand signal, not even spoken words. He would do exactly what he needed to do.
Now, there's a story. And let me see if I remember the story. Y'all were getting ready to go somewhere, and Tony told Dog to stay at the door, and he went to the car. And, Taylor, I think you know this story, too.
I don't know if I've seen that one.
Christina, go ahead, Christina.
I was so frustrated with him because he does listen to my commands, too, when he doesn't have his vest on. When
but
he
was
has his vest on,
he's a completely different dog without his vest on.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's a dog who's naked.
Yeah. So
our Maltese is a service dog, so I understand what you're saying. So he was vested that day.
He was vested at the time, and my husband ran out to the car because he was just getting something out of the car, and we were trying to get out of the house, and he left the door open and put him in a sit stay in the middle of the floor. So I would have had to crawl over him to get through the door. So Tony calls for me and says, "Come, you know, hey, Chrissy, come on." And I look at DOG, I'm like, okay, come on, let's go. And he just sits there and looks at me like I've got a horn growing out of my forehead. Like, I'm not going anywhere. And I gave him a nudge on his butt, and I was like, come on, let's go. And nope, he was not moving. I was like, Tony, you've got to call him out of this sit stay because he's not moving. And Tony just laughed at me. And then finally, he was like, he goes, okay, DOG, come on. And DOG got up and went out the door and right out to the car.
You know, this is so cool, though, because if you think about it, I mean, the training and stuff that goes, excuse me, into these dogs, I mean, it took, like, I don't know, forever to get my pit bull to stop shitting in the floor. And I was proud of that, you know? And to see, like, this dog doing all this stuff, I'm like, my pit bull, she can just stay over there. I don't care.
Well, see, the Maltese that we have, my husband's an insulin-dependent diabetic. And mm-hmm. she sleeps with us. And at night, she would sniff at him. And I said, she's alerting on you. And one night she woke me up and I yelled at her. Well, my husband was sitting on the side of the bed. I said, what's the matter? He said, Yvonne, I'm in trouble. Well, I tested him. He was at 40. He was fixing to go on crash. Well, the dog had been whining, trying to wake me up because I'm too stupid to know my husband's crashing, and he's smart enough to figure it out because diabetics have an odor about them. And this is what I was going to say mm-hmm. when you tell the story about Tony. Tony was emitting some odor that you couldn't smell, but he could. And he knew that Tony
yep.
was in trouble, and he wanted Tony to sit down before he fell out and got hurt.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
He's pretty good at that. When I'm out working, taking photos and stuff like that, he's usually pretty gentle about it initially. You
uh-huh.
know, he, like, leans his head against me. Because one of the things is if somebody walks up behind me, he leans his head up against me to let me know there's somebody there. Or if I start getting dizzy, he kind of like paws up my leg to let me know that, you know, hey, look, you need to take a knee or sit down before you fall over.
And if you don't, he gets a little bit more aggressive, doesn't he?
Exactly. If I don't do it, he starts becoming an asshole. Next thing I know, he's jumping on me. He's like, all right, dude, calm down. I'm going to listen, all right? And,
hey, dumbass, sit down.
Exactly.
Yeah, the other night I had slept downstairs because I was reading and I kind of just sleep on the couch. I do that sometimes. And it wasn't. She hasn't sent me the new one yet. But I was fell asleep while I was reading and Georgie was barking. And I ran upstairs because I'm like, him barking is very abnormal. And Tony was in a nightmare that just his normal licking his face and nudging him in his sleep wasn't waking Tony up out of. So the
wow.
was barking at him to wake him up with noise.
Yeah, a lot of times he'll wake me up by laying on top of me and licking my face. Like he'll
Holy
lay
cow.
Beside me and he'll put his front legs over top of me, like he's trying to hug me or hold me down or whatever, and he wakes me up by looking at my face. And with his body weight, he keeps me from moving too much. And you know, once you get licked in the face and it's all over your face, you're pretty much gonna wake up.
Yeah, he actually sleeps in the bed between us.
Oh, I understand that. Taylor, I know you have a lot of questions, so I'm going to turn the mic over to you for a few minutes, and you jump in and make statements, ask questions.
Definitely. I think one of the big questions that I have, first of all, I've known Christina since 2015, that summer we met. So I've kind of followed her story, and like I said, we've talked about it and everything, but you know, I believe there's a growing number of these service animals out there. With you and Tony and your family, when you say you go out to eat, do you guys feel like eyes on you or any sort of discrimination,
yeah.
you know, frequently?
Yes. Sometimes, yes. Hold on. Sometimes, yes, we have eyes on us. We can feel that we have eyes on us. We know, we can see the tables talking about us. I mean, people aren't very discreet. They actually, like, point. Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
and things like,
We have a dog in a restaurant.
Yeah.
I've literally been like, oh, you have a baby in a bar.
Yeah.
I like that.
Bama. Because I respond that back to them because I'm like, that's how stupid they sound. And I hate to say that. I don't mean to say
it
like that.
No, it's it's accurate.
Oh my god! Like we go to a local bar and we throw darts. And the first couple of times we went, there were like people like, oh my god, there's a dog in the bar. And like, oh my god, there's a drunk guy in the bar. Like, you know. So when we first started going in public with the OG, I had a really hard time with it, and I'll be perfectly honest, it was really hard for me because I felt like everybody's eyes were on us. I felt like we were the scum of the earth because we were going out with the OG, but at the same time I was glad because my husband wanted to go out. He was finally like, hey, let's go out to eat, or hey, let's go to the store. And he'd never been like that before. He does all of our grocery shopping now. I don't even grocery shop.
Yay, Tony! High five to Tony!
I'm straight up giving a round of applause on that one.
Yeah, I mean, ladies and gentlemen, y'all might think that is, yeah, big deal. No, this is a big deal because people that have post-traumatic stress syndrome with a back brain injury, number one, some days it's very hard just to get out of bed and tie their shoes and brush their teeth. And number two, to go to a grocery store and pick up items from a shelf, put it in a buggy, mm-hmm. and then go and figure out how much it's going to cost and pay for it, load it up in the car, bring it home, and yes, what a breakthrough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen to that.
He did say standing in line still sucks because people walk up behind him. But DOG, when he's in line, he says six, and DOG turns around and sits with his facing behind Tony so that he can tell
Tony
him
six.
When somebody's behind. Yeah,
he has
Tony
six.
Six.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
he does.
Holy cow.
At any time, I say six, and he turns.
Yep.
I say six, he does a 180 and sits there and looks at, you know, everybody else. And sometimes
wow.
even if I don't say he sits there, and if somebody walks up, he's like, oh, bullshit, and he turns around.
And he also will go between Tony and another person because Tony still has, like, boundary issues with people in front of him.
I do. I hate
right.
crowds. I go berserk in crowds.
People being in his bubble. So
yes.
DOG, when he's having a conversation with somebody, DOG will stand between him and that other person, keeping that distance. Because you know how some people, they like to just kind of like move in your bubble and mm-hmm. and walk up into your face and like put their hands on you and hand gestures. And DOG kind of keeps that from happening because he will, when somebody comes to talk to him, he will stand between him and that person. So that causes that person not to come any closer, even though they may not even realize what DOG is doing and
right,
how it's helping.
Not being attentive.
Wow.
Right. They're just like, oh, he's just standing here. They don't realize that even though he's just standing there, he's still providing a service.
Well, and the thing is, too, I mean, I'm getting total goosebumps when she's talking about this because, you know, it's just, I find it astounding. I really do because most of us take our animals for granted, but mm-hmm. these dogs are out there saving lives. And can Tony like field a question for me? Because I need to ask him something.
Georgie is my best friend, and it's sad because Georgie gets jealous of Chrissy, and Chrissy gets jealous of Georgie.
Well, and what I wanted to ask you, Tony, what I want to ask you is, I know that you probably feel like DOG has helped not only save your life, but do you feel like your marriage has become stronger because of this dog?
Yes, I've been able to relax and be a loving husband and a father because of DOD. In fact, tomorrow I'm giving my notice to my full-time job, and I'm going back to doing freelance photography and working and being a stay-at-home dad and
you know,
doing Uber and Lyft and all that on the side.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty lucky with my job working from home now. The best thing that my employer ever did was finally approve my work at home, although they did wait until I moved a block from work, literally, to do it. But the best thing they did was approve me for the work at home because I can be home, and it's made me more secure knowing that even though Tony's coming and going from the house at different times during the day, when he's home, I don't worry as much because I'm home too. So
yeah.
There's times I do go into the office for work, but I don't even stress as much anymore because I know DOG's here to kind of like bring him out of any funk that he may go into.
That's just so cool that he's made such an impact on your guys' lives. It's a blessing.
He's laying at my feet right now, or he's been laying at my feet ever since we started. And
he knows we're talking about him. I guarantee it.
Yep.
I think he does. I'm pretty sure
he knows. There's been a
couple times when during the conversations when Tony and I have both been feeling the emotions, and he'll stand up and he'll give Tony a kiss. He's been licking my hands too, and you know, just to let us know if everything's okay. That's his way of letting us know everything's okay.
Well, Taylor, have you got any? Believe it or not, y'all, we're about to run out of time.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So, Taylor, have you got any real quick statements that you want to say in closing before we close? And, Christine, I want you to come back because we have a lot that we didn't even touch on. Not just in the service dog arena, but in the fact that families get PTSD as well, that the wife, the children, the extended families, y'all go through a form of PTSD because you don't even, it's like being in an abusive relationship. You don't ever know when your loved one is going to have an episode. It's like walking on eggshells all the time. So I want you, if you're agreeable, to come back and let's do some more educating. Would you do that with me?
I would love to. I was so nervous tonight. Thank you, Yvonne, and, of course, Taylor, for making me feel comfortable. But I was really nervous. I didn't know if I could talk about it. We opened up our story a year ago because we wanted, if we can help one veteran, or we can help one veteran's family, then it's worth us being public with what we've
been. And Taylor, you've got to come back and help co-host this because
definitely. My biggest statement is to thank you, Christina, and DOG and Tony. Definitely all the hard work you guys have done and for coming on because, you know, I write books. And so what he did and what he fought for was one of my freedoms. So I get to do what I love for his sacrifice. And I love you guys like family. You know that. I love you dearly. And you guys are welcome anytime at the Taylor Dawn table at any event ever. So bring that DOG with you, darn it.
As long as you cook at home.
No.
Show him off. I'm going to tell you what, DOG has earned his stripes, right, Tony?
Yes. Like I say, he's not only my best friend, but he's my partner. And, you know, he's anytime that I'm not feeling right, he's there for me to make sure that I'm good.
So, see,
I just hope that I'm there for him when he needs it.
And I think I am. He's more than a service dog. He is, like you say, he is your partner.
He's my partner.
Yep.
And he, without him, you would not have come as far as you. I mean, an Uber driver, that is a huge step, my friend, a huge, huge step for you. I am so proud of you. I'm just over.
Being able to go anywhere, to being able to drive people around, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's amazing because you not only are driving other people around, but you have them at your back.
Yep.
Exactly.
And to be able to do that because of DOG.
Exactly.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you've never been in a situation that this family has been in, you cannot begin to understand the feeling of accomplishment that this young man feels, this feeling of self-respect and self-assurance and self-confidence and grabbing the world by the tail, because now the world is his oyster because he has a brother in arms. Tony, am I right about that?
Yep. And I'm going to make 2017 my bitch just like I made 2016.
Hell yeah.
I love it. That is beautiful. Perfect.
Sorry. I am.
I love it. I love your attitude, my friend. And you and Christina and the baby and DOG are welcome at my house anytime in sunny Florida. I live near the Intercoastal. I live in Port St. Lucie. So when you were talking about the Intercoastal, I knew what you were talking about.
Used to live in Fort Lauderdale.
So you were south of me, an hour and a half south of me.
Yeah.
We are running out of town. They're at town. We're running out of town. They're going to run me out of town. Taylor, my beautiful friend who I love with all of my heart, thank you for co-hosting, and come back and co-host with me when we do this again. I want to try to do it in July. I'll have to get to my book and see. Christina and Tony, my heart swells with pride. My heart swells with honor and with humbleness that you two have the courage and the character to tell your story. And for my listening audience, the next time you see someone with a service dog, especially a veteran, you go up to that person and you thank them for their service. And you tell them congratulations that they have a comrade in arms that has their six. On Wednesday night, Andrea Van Skoik will be with me. Now, those of you who know me and know Andy know that she and I have a long friendship history and that we can really get off the chain. Those of you who are interested in service dogs and what they do, make friends with Christina. Look her up. If you don't know how to look her up, look on my page. Her last name is Franco, F-R-A-N-C-O. You're interested in becoming a trainer because we need trainers badly. We need trainers for our veteran service dogs. We are getting veterans by the dozens daily that have PTSD and other ailments. We need service dogs for them. If you have a dream, and I know Tony's dream was to be made whole again. If you have a dream, then by grannies, go out and live that dream. Want to be at the end of your days, and y'all don't hang up when the show dies, because we'll go into archives. You don't want to live the end of your days and somebody asks you what regrets you have and you say, well, I didn't do this, I didn't do that, and they're going to say, why not? Well, I had this and I had that. That's BS. We all have problems. We all have things in our lives. But if you want something bad enough, just like Christina, if you want something bad enough, if it's important enough, you'll make it happen. So I'm going to say this at the end of our show. You love yourself. You love your family. You salute our veterans because they keep us safe. You guard them with your life just like they guard us. And until Wednesday night at 8 o'clock, we say good night. Okay, we are, she's about ready to kick us off, but what I'm going to do, Christina, is this show will go into archives as soon as we all hang up. And as soon as it goes into archives, I will put the link up on my page, and I'm going to tag you and Taylor. And I want y'all to pimp this show everywhere. And then tomorrow, when I put it up into the podcast, I'm going to put the links up, and I'll tag you and Taylor. Spread it around, my darling, because you did magnificent. Didn't she, Taylor? I wouldn't have known she was nervous. Did you know she was nervous?
No, but I'm over here, like, wiping my nose on my bathrobe. I'm, like, fucking bawling like crazy. Good God. There's, like, little pilly ball things all over. I'm like, oh, I got to wash this. It probably has, like, Ebola on it now.
You were such a big baby.
I am. I will take full responsibility for that.
Christina, I give her a hard time because I've adopted her as one of my children, because we've never met, but we've done two shows together, and we talk all the time on Facebook, and she comes off the wall with some of the funniest things, and I roll in the floor laughing every time I read some of her stuff. I mean, she's the only white woman I know that can fall down on a brand new fixed knee
and break the tile with my big ass.
And slides out of a chair and hits a tile floor and breaks the floor. I mean, really? Who does that?
Apparently it's me.
Only Taylor.
Oh, no. Christina can tell you the little story about the event last October where I slid out of yet another chair and ended up in the floor. And people walked through the hotel, our hotel room door, looking at me like, what the hell just happened? Christina's over there dying. I'm like, I think I broke something.
I mean, we'd all had a really long day. And after I realized that, you know, she actually fell off the chair and didn't just slide off the chair, and I laughed for a while. Like, you are okay, right?
It's insane. I think there's something in my DNA that's just like clutch, and I just have to live with it. I don't know.
Yeah, she's absolutely insanely clumsy, and I love her to death. And really, when I met Taylor in July of 2015, she was one of the only authors that, like, came out from behind their table and talked to the readers, and she just made me laugh so hard. And she just, my friend Kim and I are very introverted. Like, we both have a hard time kind of, like, being with a lot of people. And we were at the signing, had a lunch, and we'd gotten the VIP tickets so we could go to this lunch. And, like, none of the authors were sitting with us. And she just comes over, and she, like, throws her purse down on there, and she's like, so I'm sitting here. Is this okay? Absolutely. Please.
And then,
you know, like, I'm so scared.
That was not the best part, though. The best part was when somebody was like, oh, did you see that yummy chocolate cake out there on the buffet? And I'm like, I'll be right back. And in this huge ballroom full of professional authors and everything, my goofy ass grabs the entire chocolate cake and carts it in there. And I'm like, found it.
Yeah, like, she put cake and brought it to the table.
Yeah.
But, I told her 100 times, she's, like, one of my best friends. And the wonderful thing about the book world is I might not have friends that are close to me, but I've made some of my best friends from the signing. And that's why I go to so many of them. And that's why I started my little Facebook page so I could share their stuff to support them.
We are a strange lot, Christine, I'm telling you. We're Taylor can tell you, I am extremely strange, but I'm extremely loyal. I will send the monkeys flying. It does not matter to me. You mess with the people I love, and I will hurt you. And I can be sitting in my house.
Oh, Christina knows that about me, too.
Yep. I can be sitting in my house, minding my own business, but karma is a bitch, and she will get you.
Mm-hmm.
So, I have your and Tony's sick, so let somebody else be ugly to Tony about DOG. See it. Mm-hmm. I'll find out the name next time, and I'll go after it. I will give them a lesson in good Southern manners, bless their hearts.
Ooh. She'll give them some,
oh, shit, you done it now.
Yeah, that's the Southern,
yep.
Like, you're a bitch.
Exactly.
She'd be like, here's a glass of sweet tea. Oh, by the way, here's an ass whooping.
Now, y'all do
it's
know that
free.
All of this is going to show up in archives. So what we have done, Christina, is we have literally run the gamut of emotions. And I like to close my evening with laughter because life is serious enough and I don't really take it too seriously. And people that are stupid, I just dust them off my shoulder because they can't help themselves and they don't want to help themselves. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to end the evening in a happy frame of mind so that the natural feel-good endorphins will flow through your and Tony's body, and y'all can enjoy your evening and say, yes, we did good. Would that be a fair statement, Taylor?
Exactly. I mean, I'm feeling pretty good right now, so I don't know about y'all.
I think both of us feel really good because, like I said, I think we both feel if one veteran or one veteran family hears this and it becomes more understanding and helps them get the help that they need, then
exactly.
We've done our job.
Absolutely.
I help my brothers and sisters. I don't care about anybody else. I want to help my brothers and sisters.
Yep.
There you go.
Amen
and,
to that.
And military is a family, and this is what civilians have a hard time understanding. How can you say they're a family? They're not related. They are a family because they see things and do things, and they have to take part in things that most of us don't really want to know about.
Yeah.
Yep.
So with that, my beautiful friends, who I adore with all of my heart, Christina, anybody gives you a hard time, I want their name next time. Because if you don't kill me, I will find out. I didn't bounty hunt for a long time for nothing. she doesn't know about my bounty hunting, does she?
She doesn't.
I am a bounty hunter, Christine. I did hunt people for a living.
Me too.
Yours was a little bit different from
me. I wasn't the rest of them.
Oh, honey.
Tony understands. Tony gets it. But if anybody mistreats you or Tony again, I expect their name because I can shred people with my tongue and say, bless your heart afterwards, and they will ask directions to hell with a smile on their face.
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I'm going to get off from here, my beautiful friends, and I'll let y'all know a date in July, and we'll do this several more times because I think this is a platform that we can keep out there, and we can educate people on PTSD, on physical war wounds, on the silent war wounds. I mean, there's also depression. Once you fall down in that black hole, you can't get out of. So there's a lot that we can do with this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely.
So with that, I'm going to say good night, and y'all have a wonderful night. And Ms. Taylor Dawn, when are you going to have a new book out?
Coming up here in, what is this, February? Coming up March, actually.
Have
I got you down for another show for your books?
No, you haven't. Get me on the calendar.
Say it ain't so.
It ain't so.
All right, I'm putting you down in July, too. How's that?
Fabulous.
Okay, you better have another one ready to go by then.
Oh, I will. Trust me.
Okay. All right. We'll do a show with you and Christina and Tony, and then we'll do a show with you and your books. And if Christina wants to sit in and if she wants to help me co-host that show, then we'll just turn the tables on you.
Hey, I'll be ready for it. You know me.
Okay. I love y'all.
Love ya.
Talk to y'all later.
Bye. All right, bye.
Bye-bye.